You're listening to the Kingdom Culture Church podcast. To connect with us, hop on social media or go to kingdomculturechurch.com.au.
Hello, everybody. Good to see you. Amazing. Good to see you. I am so blessed to be sharing this morning at our Mother's Day service. And this is actually a message that I'm going to share that it's not just pertaining to Mother's Day. It's something that's been brewing in me for a really long time. But firstly, I just want to say hi if you're here for the first time. Is there anyone here visiting for the first time? Anyone bring their mum? Anyone? All right. Hands up, all the mums. We're all the mums in the house. Oh, yay. That's awesome to see you. So good to see you. We just had the best conference, hey. It was amazing. It was life-changing. And I don't have time to tell you of the couple of the great things that happened in my life at during that conference, but a couple of very significant things happened, and I feel so privileged to be able to share off the back of this and begin our new series called It Runs in the Family. And this morning we're looking at why mothers matter, but I want you all to hear why you matter. So this message is for everybody in this room, but mums, I need you to listen this morning because we're going to be talking about eternal things. Eternal things. I'm just checking that the board was up there. Thanks, guys. That's really good. Hey, you know, how this all started for the beginning of what I want to share with you, I was just saying to God, I know there's something you want to say. I know there is something you want to say, and I couldn't quite pinpoint it. I just couldn't quite pinpoint it. So last Thursday, I'm driving here to the conference. I came mid-afternoon just to help with a few things for setup for conference. So I'm coming the back way because the traffic was horrific. Coming down the back way, and as you know, down the road at Burpengary, there's Storage King. So big building, Storage King. I've driven past that hundreds of times. But at the front of Storage King was this brightly lit square sign. And it said, "We sell boxes." That's all it said. "We sell boxes." So I'm pulling up near there in the traffic, and something just happened in my heart. I can't even explain it. It was just like a big thump in my heart. And I felt the Spirit of God, heard the Spirit of God in my heart, not an audible voice, say to me, "Kim, if you could put a sign up outside KCC, what would it be? If you could write something up." And I knew it had to be three words. And I sat there and instantly I got these words: "We preach Jesus. We preach Jesus." And I'm smiling. "We preach Jesus." And I got all excited. And it was like, and that would be the sign over my life. And that would be the sign over my children's life. And that's how all this came together. We preach Jesus. And so this morning, why mothers matter, we're going to look at this for you and for all of us this morning. I was going to share right now just some personal photos and stuff and say to you, so guys, we won't use those. But when Pastor Rob got up, I just felt God say to me, "Don't even go there," because I was just going to go for a moment and just say to you, I really do identify with what it's like to be a mum, and because I've been a mum a long time, and show you some photos and show you a couple of the women in my life. But I just feel the Spirit of God wants to just keep speaking the word of the Lord this morning. So we're going to go with that. So I'm so sorry to the team up the back, but God is really speaking this morning. He really is. But one thing I was going to say, scroll past that section, is one thing I was going to say, that there were two significant women in my life. My mum's amazing. She turns 88 in a couple of days. But I had two significant women in my life. One was my grandmother, and one was the first pastors we had at COC, Margaret and Laurie Jensen. Those women impacted me profoundly. And why? Because they were women of prayer, women of the word, women in the house of God, women that showed me to love who God was. So I want to say to you this morning that, and I've said it many times here, that whenever you see somebody who's had a significant touch of God, someone has gone before them. And do you know what? It's I was looking something up during the week, and statistics show that the greatest moves of God were begun by praying women. The revivals in the earth were begun with praying women. Every great evangelist, every great man of God who ever made himself, who God made known in the earth, like the Wesleys and that, they had a praying mother or a praying grandmother. So that is where I want to take us today. So mums, listen, but listen to everybody here. We are responsible for just about everything in a child's life once they are born, from pregnancy onwards. There's just like not enough hours to explain what a mum does. Only a mum can relate to it. Only a mother can relate to every single one of those things. These children are totally reliant upon us. They're reliant for their food, their shelter, and of course dads are involved. I'm not even, you know, implying anything else, but they rely on us for food and clothes and shelter and hygiene and warmth and education, protection, safety. That's actually something that's very funny, because normally where safety is compromised in a family, there's a dad attached to the other end of that child, because there's normally a man throwing a child into the air when the fans are going. Have we all had one of those? Yes, yes. There's always a man attached to a child being thrown into the deep end of a pool. There's always a man attached to bouncing on a trampoline and children are getting permanent neck injuries. It's just like, you really need God when you are raising children as a mum, because men, look, men, they're just like, you need just a Psalm 91 experience, I'm just telling you now. And we are responsible to mold their characters and raise them up as mature adults. And I just want to talk about protection for a minute, yeah, and tell you something very funny. When my son Tim, Timmy, we still call him Timmy, he's 39. When Timmy was 10 days old, we brought him into the house of God to be dedicated. And he was this little preemie baby, and he was as cute as a bug. And he was in this little padded cocoon thing. Slid him under the chairs at the church. We had no mum's room or anything back then. And got to the end, lots of tears, you know, lots of stuff, got a little certificate, hugging all my friends, all my family was there, and go to leave. And someone at the door actually said, "Kimmy, did you forget something?" And I'm going, "No," checking my bags. "Are you sure you didn't forget something?" "Yeah, here's my baby under the front seat." It was my first day in church. I had just forgot all about him. So, yeah, so we just had to go back and get him. Like, how bad is that? So why do we need Jesus, mums? We really do need him. But could you get me a drink, please, baby? Oh, good. I won't be 1 minute. When this whole message really got birthed in me, and I'm not telling the whole story whatsoever today because I've shared it many times from this pulpit, but in December 2008, my life was changed forever. And from that experience comes everything normally I share out of now. And I got very critically sick, very critically ill, like very, very ill. But from that encounter, from that experience, something happened in my life that I have never been the same again. And in that hard place and that furnace and that valley, I met God in a way I had never met him before. And this was a woman, I had served God since I was 15. I was a leader. I loved God. I read my word. I prayed. I was in a church where fasting was the lifestyle. But I had never encountered God in a way that I so desired. until that time when I got very, very sick. And I know some of you in this room, it wasn't sickness, but it was other things. And Trish will relate to that. So I know that experience of overnight, your life can change. You get up one day, by the next day, everything about your life has been cut off at the knees. And I know what happened in that time. I would not swap for anything in the world. And I'm not saying that has to be your story. But God, in that time, began stripping away everything out of my life that was peripheral to an intimate relationship with Him. Absolutely everything. He began stripping away and digging out everything that I had built my identity and my worth on. And you know, we teach a lot on that in this house, everything other than Him. And I want to say at this point, the reason I bring that up was motherhood was a very big part of that. There was a lot of grief, there was some grief. There was disappointment. She goes, amen, there was. There was, I had a lot of guilt. You know, there's a lot of sadness often attached to motherhood. When your children struggle, it can be a big grief to you. And my identity was hugely based there. So when I could no longer serve my family, my own family or the church, there was such a stripping and a dealing in me. And it brought healing to parts of me. And mums, you'd need to listen to this, that God had never had access to before, because I was always too busy, always something happening, always put myself last in that way, and I never worried about it. I just press on. Mums press on. Mums are pressers on us. And one of the things we need to cover and pray for our mums in the house and everyone in the house, but the mums in the house, is we need to give them rest. We need to pray. We need to believe for God to give them an encounter of peace and joy. And I'm still living out of that experience, but I tell you why. And I tell you why, mums, I tell you why, everyone, because in that time, I saw God not face to face. I met with God. And I pursued Him. And to this day, I still pursue Him. And we must daily pursue Him. I have seen revival in this city. We were part of what happened in the late 70s and the 80s. We saw not one or two. We saw dozens get saved every week. We saw real healings. We saw manifestations of the Spirit. We saw deliverances. We saw things that you don't so often see anymore, but we are starting to see again. And I say all that to say this, you can't live from that. So when I got sick in 2008, it didn't matter what I'd seen in the late 70s. It did nothing. It did nothing for me to encounter God. We've got to have a daily fresh experience with God. Fresh bread, fresh bread, fresh bread. And we have to know that that is the bottom of our purpose. Why mothers matter. Why you matter. Because there's an experience to be had in God that cannot be found anywhere else and has to be found outside all those natural, practical things that happen in our life every day. And why do these eternal kingdom things matter? That's what happened when I met with God. I had such a revelation of eternal things. I got so shaken that my life is a part of an eternal fabric. An eternal fabric. An eternal fabric. A kingdom fabric. And that was to form the basis of everything my life is about and everything your life is about. Because if we get up every morning and just tend to the natural things, we go under. And as mums, the screaming and the crying just gets too much sometimes. And the humdrum of lunchboxes and driving to school and raising teenagers. How do you escape that strangling thing at times? And everybody faces it. There's no fairy tale attached to motherhood some days. I'm telling you, we have to base everything on eternal kingdom matters. We're going to have a look at the screen at a photo of the pale blue dot. That's all right. On February 14th, there's this famous photo, this famous series of photos, but there's two particular photos. And on February 14th, 1990, the Voyager 1 space probe unintentionally captured some photos. Oh, here they go. Captured these photos when taking its routine series of images to be beamed back to Earth. These photos were taken from 6 billion kilometres away, 6 billion with a B. In amongst the bands of light, they discovered a tiny dot in the immense vastness of space, no bigger than a pixel. It had never, ever been captured before. So here's the beams of light, 6 billion kilometres away, and the probe's just like click, 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 click. And this scientist called Carl Sagan called it the pale blue dot. And when they looked at it, it was the planet Earth. And from that time, that pale blue dot has been used on countless, countless opportunities and scientific things. Preachers have preached on it. Louis Giglio does a brilliant series on this. But this is what God just brought to my memory recently. This pale blue dot. This, like, when I did this visual aid, what I pictured actually 15 years ago now, I had a dream one night of a tiny little bead on a string, and it was eternity, and it was this little bead. It was before I'd heard about that. And I woke up one night and God said, "You were born for that. Your life matters." And it was at a time when I was going through some really difficult things in my life. And so this is just meant to represent this. But this is what I want us to get this morning as God begins to unpack it. That here in this pale blue dot is us. Here for eternal purposes. For eternal purposes. We're going to look at Esther 11:14. Sorry, Esther 4:11. But before I read it, I want to give you a bit of background. So I want you to just, you know, put your thoughts on pale blue dot. Where are we going this morning? Here's the background. The new king, the new queen of Persia called Esther, a young Jewish woman, heard news through her older cousin Mordecai, who had adopted and raised her when she was orphaned, that her husband, King Xerxes, had sent out a decree to have all the Jewish exiles murdered. The king did not know that Esther herself was a Jew and that her family had come to Persia as captives years before. She was chosen to be queen for her beauty. I mean, we all are, aren't we, girls? Aren't we? But God was in it. God was in it. So remember the pale blue dot. God was in it. Only one person could move the king's heart about this decision, and that was Esther. But it was at the risk of her life. This is what Esther told her servants when they brought the message from her cousin Mordecai when he sent news of the king's plan. So we're going to have a look at this scripture. Esther 4:11-14. All the king's servants and all the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that they may live. She needed the king's favor to enter the throne room, or else she would have been put to death. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words, and listen to this. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than any other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, for you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? It says in the NIV, and who knows that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this? Everyone, we need to remember we have been brought to the kingdom, to the pale blue dot, for such a time as this. For such a time as this. It's not coincidental. It's not random, as Pastor Rob said. Nothing about you or me is random. Nothing about this. This is why mothers matter. This is why we matter. It's nothing random about it. So I want you to hold that thought. We're going to go to Psalm 139, verse 13. Most of you know this really well, but listen to it now in the context of where we're going. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. But listen to this. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. All our days were written in a book before one of them came to be. We were enormously purposed for eternal kingdom purposes. There is nothing ordinary about you, mums. There is nothing ordinary about any person in this room. We're going to look closely at what this actually means now in our personal lives. Like, think about this. Think about your life in the view of eternity. So listen to this. These are just things captured out of the Word of God. For God's greatest joy and greatest purposes, He spoke from eternity past, so way back from eternity past, He spoke. He spoke from endless eternity. God spoke the universe and mankind into existence, and time began in a nanosecond. So out of eternity, boom, it began in a nanosecond. As Almighty God spoke, nothing was created, as I said, coincidentally or randomly. You only have to read three of my favorite chapters in the Bible is Job 37, 38, and 39. You should read them. It's amazing. He's challenging Job, like, where were you when I drew a line in the sand for the waves to come? And where were you when the mountain goats were doing this? And it's really, he just talks about how intricately creation is made and how anyone could even question the coming together of all things of his creation. So you only have to see that as he did this, everything was purposed. Everything, nothing was random, including the sea never crossing its marks. It's just amazing to me. And yet in the middle of all that, his greatest creation was mankind, was us. Like his greatest love in creation was us. And every one of us is known so intimately in the billions of people that walk the earth. We're not lost in a crowd. And sometimes, mothers, this is not to be patronizing, but I know you feel like this. I know that's how it can feel when you have vomit on your shoulder and you've got yet another nappy to change and the kid has left their lunchbox at school or their three-day-old banana in their bag. And you cannot feel this. You can just feel like I want to get in my car and drive far, far away. You know what I mean? But we are not lost in the millions. And I wanted to impart this to you today so that, like Pastor Rob, you just smash that. That was the word of the Lord this morning. There has to be a shift in our minds. Something has shifted. Something has shifted, not just in us as a church, but it's changing across the earth and individually. We have to begin to start, we have to start thinking differently about our everyday life. Because I tell you now, it's not going to change much naturally. There'll always be kids to raise and dishes to wash and work to go to and lawns to mow and cars to wash and clean out. So what do you do in the midst of all those things? Ephesians 1 is, again, one of the greatest scriptures you can read. It's not on the screen, but this is what it tells us. Ephesians 1 says, you were chosen in him before the creation of the world. We were predestined for adoption to be his sons and his daughters through Jesus Christ according to his good pleasure and will. It was his good pleasure that did this, that drew us out of eternity right now. We were born for now. We weren't born in the 1700s or 1800s. We were born for now. For now. We were predestined. Jesus died that we would no longer be orphans, so that we would no longer be fatherless. We're talking about it runs in the family. We've been predestined to be adopted by him with a purpose. That's who we are, mothers. That's who we are in this house. He purposed with great pleasure to reveal his will to us. This is all in Ephesians 1, which was to bring everything, oh, this is the best bit, bring everything of his heavenly kingdom and his earth together. That's why we're here, to bring heavenly purposes, heavenly kingdom, earthly kingdom together. That's why we matter. We matter because he brings it all together in our lifetime. And that's what our mandate is, to bring the things of heaven and earth together. And in amongst there is all the ordinary stuff. But if we don't get out of that, we will never find our way and still be miserable in our 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. If you can get this now, it will change the rest of your life. Matthew 6 says, right in the middle of it is the Lord's Prayer. But I just want to pull out, I was telling Pastor Heather about this, just the one verse, and it goes, Our Father, because we're talking about it runs in the family. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I was really stopped on that in the last couple of weeks and remembered, and I looked up, but I remembered that hallowed means to make holy, to treat as holy, to consecrate as precious. And do you know that one of the main reasons we are here, why we matter, is that God wants to be seen by us as precious. He wants to be seen. Now listen to what I'm about to say. Don't hear what I'm not about to say. God wants to be seen as more than the God of power. That is amazing. I live for that. I live for that. We live for that. We just came off the back of a powerful, powerful weekend. Powerful weekend. So the power of God is magnificent, but he wants to be seen for more than that. He wants to be seen as treasured and holy. And one of the greatest purposes we have and why we matter is because he showed himself to us personally. And the greatest joy he has is for us to see him as he is and to get our joy from that. Because you know, again, and I've said this before, you can love the power of God. You can actually be touched by the power of God. You can minister in the power of God, but not treasure God. You can do all that. You can love the power of God. You can move in it. You can be touched by it, but not hallowed be thy name. And something has to shift where we understand that our greatest reason here isn't firstly to raise the dead and heal the sick and bring the power of God. Our first reason here is to see God, to hallow his name, to be ones who see him. And why do we matter? Because we carried that message. And those people are the ones who move in the power of God. When I was praying for John during the week, do you know, I knelt beside my bed and I said to God, because I can get bold when I really, really want to pray, especially for people I really know and love. And I was like, God, I know you hear my prayer because you know I love you. You know I love you. This comes from someone who loves you and doesn't just quote the word, I love you. I love you. So I know my prayer carries power. See, Jesus, who is God and the Son of God, the Father, broke Jesus, like Jesus, the Son of God, broke into time and space at the Father's assigned time. God's kingdom came with him. So when Jesus came, the kingdom came. You can't separate them. So Jesus came, the kingdom came. And so the kingdom broke into space and time. Jesus came with the message, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So this is all about kingdom. Why, mums, do we matter? Because we're kingdom called and we carry a kingdom message. And he came as Savior and Redeemer, and ultimately he was pointing to the Father because it runs in the family. Everything he did, everything we're called to is to point to the Father. So we're here through Jesus to point to the Father. So that's our kingdom mandate. And we're not to get bogged down in anything else. I love that we're calling it for that reason. It runs in the family. So we are called, I'm just going to keep coming back to it, to become a family and a people on the earth who would lay the foundation of culture in society. And what culture? Kingdom culture. We are called to lay kingdom culture in society, whether you're a mother, a father, a son, or a daughter, a kingdom culture according to the Father's kingdom principles and heart. A people of God in the earth who are culture creators. We've just come from a year of preaching that, and that's still who we are. So these people, it runs in the family. We are culture creators. We are kingdom culture creators. That's why it runs in the family. What runs in the family? Kingdom culture creating. Right from the heart of the Father who called us out of eternity, that we would know his goodness. That is our mandate. That is our mission. We were birthed for to be justified and beautified in him. All those things. These are the messages we carry. And mums, dads, every one of us, we are called to birth others into that. So we are born for now, for such a time as this, to see him, to know him, to find him, to say yes to being a lover of him, hallowing his name, and being creators of kingdom culture in this earth. And that is meant to be the cornerstone of who a mother is, who a father is. That is our cornerstone. I'd love all the mums in the house to please stand up just for a moment. All the mums. See these women? You matter, mums. You matter. We can give you a big clap, in fact. We love you. Mums. You matter. You were born for this. You were born right now for such a time as this. And why do you matter? Stay standing. You matter because you were born into a season and a generation in a world that is hell-bent on equality. It's hell-bent on political correctness. You were born into this for such a time as this, where gender is fluid. So you matter. You were born where babies can be aborted at birth. So you matter. Your kingdom mandate matters. Your kingdom mandate matters when you can abort a baby at birth. You were born for such a time as this and you matter because discipline is abhorred mostly and can be reported to authorities. So you matter. You matter. Your kingdom stand matters. You were born into a world and meant for this world where absolutes are very hard to find and truth is grey. You're born into a time where social media is full of haters and big fat opinions about things people know very little about. So you were born to the earth for such a time as this. So you matter. You matter. Come on. You matter. Because for such a time as this, children are being bullied to suicide on Facebook. You matter. We matter. Come on, we've got to get past the fact that you feel bad that you haven't done a good enough job. You're doing a brilliant job. You're doing a brilliant job. You matter. You matter. You were called for such a time as this to carry the kingdom message. I want us all to stand this morning.